to Entrusted Hope Podcast, a ministry outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we dive into the Word of God, entrusting to you what has been entrusted to us. Join us now as our host and Bible teacher, Dr. O'Shea Lowry, teaches God's unchanging truth while passing on life lessons entrusted to her amid her journey.
Hey, this is Shay, and welcome to another episode of Entrusted Hope Podcast. Today's title is Don't Miss Your Tomorrows by Lingering in the Disappointments of Your Yesterdays. Today, we are going to be studying from 1 Samuel chapter 16, talking about moving forward from disappointments. We are going to be talking about Saul, his loss, and Samuel's lingering in grief over Saul. I'm going to set the stage just a little bit for the story. Saul was a man who God had called to be king. Yet during his kingship, he made some unwise decisions and he began to live in rebellion and would not repent. Therefore, God stripped the kingdom from Saul. During this particular time, however, Samuel was a prophet and he loved Saul. He had been grieving over Saul's rebellion and over his loss of the kingdom. But the Lord came to Samuel with a question, with instructions, and with an assignment that would require moving on with the Lord to the new thing he had called to be. I'm going to be reading now from 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 13. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Now Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel arose and went to Ramah. I want us to look back for just a moment at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?" The question, how long will you grieve over Saul? There have been several times in my journey where I found myself grieving over individuals to whom God had removed from my life. He was calling me to trust him in those matters and to obey him by moving forward with him. Yet instead of trusting, I lingered in the grief and allowed my disappointments to keep me from moving on to what God was calling me to do. However, today I can honestly say, now I understand. God always sees the bigger picture. He sees what we cannot see. The Lord was protecting me even when I did not realize it, while calling me to trust him. Listen, I would have missed many opportunities had I have continued to linger in what I thought then were disappointments. Today, I see them as God's blessings and best for my life. God was calling Samuel to not only trust him, but to move forward with him to the new thing he had awaiting. Samuel had grieved way too long over Saul, and God was calling him to move forward. In following God, Samuel learned many valuable lessons that he would never forget but could have missed had he have lingered on in his disappointments. I want us to look closely at some of those lessons. Lesson number one, lingering too long in our disappointments can cause us to miss divine opportunities. I had arrived at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and I was attending seminary there. Loved the seminary, still do to this day. But out of nowhere came a scholarship offer to another seminary. And when I first got word of it, I didn't want to leave New Orleans. It was close to my family. I loved being there. And so I was, I guess, somewhat disappointed. But the more I prayed about it, the more I realized that God was indeed moving me somewhere else. And I've often thought what I could have missed had I stayed instead of going when God told me to go. God was calling Samuel to join him in a new work while leaving the past behind. It was time to move on, and it was also time to move on to something new. I want you to notice the instructions that God gave to Samuel in verse 1. He said, fill your horn with oil and go. So God has just said to Samuel, how long are you going to grieve? How long are you going to grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. God was calling Samuel to prepare and to go, for God had a new assignment for Samuel, one that involved a new path, a new king, and a new anointing. It was also an assignment that required obedience without delay. And that brings us to lesson number two. Delayed obedience can delay God's blessings. When God speaks, we must act. God had a plan, and that plan was unfolding right before Samuel's eyes. He was called to be a part of a very important anointing that was soon to take place. I love Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I remember a time that I was involved in a particular ministry. I had only been with that ministry just for a short time, but I became very restless inside. And one day I went into my closet and I just started praying, Lord, what is this? And on that day, the Lord spoke to me really through the passage of when the fishermen had been fishing on one side of the boat. They were not catching anything, and Jesus told them to cast the net on the other side. And I knew that day that the Lord was getting ready to do something, a new thing in my life. Cast your net on the other side. And so he was getting ready to do a new thing in my life. God was doing an incredible work, and Samuel was called to be a part of it. But he had to make a decision to obey what God had asked him to do. Now, notice the last part of verse 1. God said, I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. And that brings us to lesson number 3. Obedience to God's calling does not require a know-all of the directional course. Obedience to God's calling does not require a know-all of the directional course. And listen, we must be good with that. We must be good with that. God was over the directional course and the selection of the next king. Samuel was called to join him in his work. I want to tell you why this is so important to remember. When we have been disappointed with something, we may be a little gun shy to trust in doing something new. Therefore, we may not want to step out of the boat without knowing everything that is going to happen, because we fear being disappointed again. This mode of action, however, can bring paralyzing fear and disobedience to God. When we come to know and understand the trustworthiness of God, we will step out with him without having to know all the details of the call or of the new thing he is leading us to do. That is faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Samuel could have gotten stuck in wanting Saul to be king, but he didn't. He trusted the Lord's character, and he trusted the Lord's decision for a new king. We must guard against being drawn to something that we may think is best when in all truthfulness it isn't God's best. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in God with all of our hearts. It tells us not to lean on our own understanding and in all of our ways acknowledge Him, as He will make our path straight. Listen, God already had mapped out the road that Samuel was to travel on. He just needed to get him on it. How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. Verse 4 says, so Samuel did what the Lord said. Samuel comes to Bethlehem. The elders of the city, they come out. The Bible says they come out trembling to meet him. They're asking him, do you come in peace? He tells them, yes, he's coming in peace. And he says, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. He says, consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And then he also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And now we come to verses 6 and 7. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Lesson number 4, the heart is more important to God than outward appearances. God taught Samuel a lesson he would never forget. Samuel was guessing at who the next king would be based on outward appearance. Yet God taught him on that day that he looked at the heart of man, not on the appearance of man. Samuel listened to the voice of God and applied what he had learned in moving forward in the selection of the king. In other words, Samuel did it God's way, letting God lead and waiting until God chose. So after all the sons had passed by, Samuel posed a question to Jesse. Are these all the children? Jesse stated, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he went and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Listen, while others saw merely a shepherd boy, God saw a king. And that brings us to lesson number 5. It only matters what God sees. It only matters what God sees. Don't ever let another person's vision for your life sit you down. I remember years ago, I think it was in my early 30s, I had walked into a restaurant and there were 3 or 4 individuals sitting at a table, and I got my food. As I turned the corner, I walked by that table and I heard one of the individuals say out loud, y'all want me to tell you what kind of student Shay was? And I started walking to my table, and of course I laughed with them, but I was humiliated over that. And that, you know, it was my fault that I gave someone that kind of power to affect me. So I own it. It was my fault. But I walked to that table and I sat down and I felt just humiliated. Little did I know that God had already purposed and had already planned and ordained that years later, He would pull out another chair for me to sit at another table where I would be giving my doctoral defense, that I would one day be a graduate, a doctoral student. It only matters what God sees. They could not see that, but God saw it. Don't ever let the unbelief of another person toward you keep you from moving forward. And don't give power to people like I gave power that day to that individual and the words that he was stating. Give allegiance to God and what he wants to do in and through your life. As we come to a close, I want us to look once more at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Lesson number 6. When we move forward at the Lord's command, we will experience the very best from his hand. Samuel arose from a disappointment and stood before his God to receive his next assignment. Samuel arose and moved forward when God gave him directions for a future anointing of a new king. Samuel arose and learned lessons that he would have never learned had he have lingered in his disappointments. Samuel arose and anointed the next king when God gave him the command. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah, where he would face his next assignment. In other words, Samuel arose and he kept moving forward. God is calling someone today to move forward. Listen to him. God is calling someone today to a new beginning, to a new place, or to a new job. Move forward. God is reminding someone today they are forgiven. Move forward in his forgiveness. God is telling someone today, I am not finished with you. Move forward with me. God is calling individuals today to arise out of their disappointments so they can embrace what God is calling them to do. Listen, once again, lingering in our disappointments can cause us to miss God's very best for our lives. Get up and move forward with Jesus, for he will never disappoint. Never, ever disappoint. Father, thank you so much that you give us grace. You speak to our hearts to move forward. Lord, the disappointments can keep us entrapped, but Lord, you give us victory. You give us freedom. And so, Lord, help us to move forward with you today, giving you those disappointments, trusting you with things that's happened that maybe we didn't understand. But Lord, we know that you know what is best for our lives. So we trust you and we give you our disappointments. And Father, we just pray that you would give us the grace to keep moving forward, to trust you all the way, every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We pray today's teaching brought you hope and comfort in God's truth and in his love. For more information on Entrusted Hope Ministries, visit our website at www.entrustedhopeministries.org. Have a blessed day, and thank you again for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast, an outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries.